It's not very subtle technology interchange there, but anyway, we're not trying to be fancy, are we? Really? Yeah, Brother Kenny said something this morning I've been thinking about. He said the Russian service, we're not going to be speaking Russian, he said, which is good because I don't know any except Das Vidanya, and I'm not even sure what that means, but anyway. But we would be rushing our speaking, he said. So I've been reflecting on that. I don't want to rush my speaking on. I don't want to take your time needlessly either. And I figured out what the secret to having a succinct message in these Russian services is to only have one point and not try to cram a fully developed three-point sermon with a poem into 10 minutes, you know. So I think that's really... So I have one point, and I'm afraid that my time will be very short. I don't want to just blather on needlessly and take your time either. But guys, there did you see my little PowerPoint? It's called Mother's Day 2023. Peter knows about it. I don't have the flipper, so yeah, just put it up if you would. Just put up the first slide for now. I got a few pictures here. Pictures worth 1,000 words, so that ought to shorten my speaking a little bit too. So five pictures, that'd be 5,000 words less, fewer. Anyway, first of all, congratulations to all the mothers out there, Christian mothers, undoubtedly who I'm addressing at the moment, because that's the people that come to church and the people that listen to this type of thing, and praise the Lord for Christian mothers. My point tonight, though, is very different. I want to talk about the non-Christian mothers. And the thing that got me started on it was I was thinking about what I heard recently from the news there in Panama of a couple of ladies that got saved recently, mothers of young men who were saved a while back and are being discipled, and are, as a matter of fact, young preachers, getting started as preachers. And speaking of which, I'm real thankful for... thanks. Figure out how to work that thing, but anyway. Anyway, I'm really thankful for Tom's grandmother and mother, because it had a ripple effect down to my life. And Brother Tom's had a huge impact on me. And so, I tell you what, like he pointed out and I wrote down in my notes, you never know where it'll end. And that's really a key thing to keep in mind. That's very encouraging, to think that any good action that we perform could have a good effect beyond what we would ever know. And you know, one of the things I learned as a missionary is it's good to lose control of things and let God handle the results many times. Until we try to control too often and run things according to the way we think they ought to be. But God, if we'll just preach His truth, will bring many effects that we would never dreamed of, really. And you know, concerning motherhood, there's a lot that's, especially on this day, that's said about it, and the influence of Christian mothers in the lives of their children and grandchildren and so forth is always the big topic. And that's a valid topic, of course. But a lot of times I think that the natural impulses that God put into mothers often kind of hide or disguise many mothers who aren't really know the Lord. And nonetheless, they're good people. They care, they love their children. And they seem, you know, like they're not like men, so aggressive, and they're usually not violent and usually not vile either, though anything's possible. But generally speaking, the fairer sex, as they're called, tend to be a gentler and sweeter group of people than crude old men happen to be. And there's several things three aspects that I thought about that all mothers have. First thing is, the universal aspect of motherhood is something that every single person in this room has a mother. There's no human being that ever lived didn't have a mother, well, except Adam and Eve, but they were directly created. But that's one of the things that's absolutely universal. And so, you know, everybody loves their mother, and their mother loves them, generally speaking. And the very nature of motherhood is sacrificial. A woman literally risking her life to have a baby. And we can see that here in Lindsay, just most recently called to our attention, who's really had a close call. And you know, our daughter Abby nearly died from giving birth to her second child. We were just talking about that today, and I mean, it's real. And in past times, before the modern medical advances, many women, a large percentage, died in childbirth. And so there's a woman has to have a sacrificial attitude just to become a mother. And secondly, or thirdly, there's a selfless aspect to motherhood, because a mother is signing up to a long time of service, very devoted, selfless service to her child. And all mothers understand that, and they have a natural desire to do that. And so motherhood is just a good thing, even in the natural sense. But the really important thing is for mothers to be Christians, to be saved, to be born again. And Proverbs chapter 14, don't put it up, but we'll put the picture. I'll just read it. It's well known to everyone, I'm sure. It was my daily proverb reading of the day. Today's the 14th, and just as I read this, I thought, wow, this really goes with my message. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The unsaved mother is liable to cause a lot of destruction in the life of her children. And I've got the two examples here. Let's see if I can get the thing to work. Well, I don't know which button to punch, I guess, but I'm punching something, but no. Oh, wait. You should have this. Or this. Or the other. There we go. These two ladies right here are mothers. They live in Panama in Veraguas, around the camp. Their children are Omar and Octavio, two sons that they have. They have other children as well. And for years, these ladies were negligent, terrible mothers. Their homes were a disaster. And their children ran wild. Both Omar and Octavio were known to the police there in the little town of Cañasas. And the police were always watching for them because they were into everything. But they got saved. They got saved about 3 years ago. Yeah, about that time, 2020. Omar about a year later. And now they really were born again. They've been truly converted, and the Lord is using them. They're growing. They love the Lord. They're going around with Brother Cristobal all the time, everywhere. And recently, in a service there at the mission in Cañasas at the camp, these two ladies came forward and gave a testimony of how they'd received Christ as their Savior. Cristobal gave me a long account of it on the phone. He said, well, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Everybody was just praising the Lord for this miracle that happened, because these ladies were alcoholics. One of them had just left her family, just abandoned her family. A lot of the time they were drunk, didn't know what was going on. And they were terrible mothers. But now they're saved. And the great thing about it is, let's see, I can't remember which button I punched. I think it was that one. Now, there we go. Here they are at their baptismal service. I mean, they're following up. Things are different in their home now. Here's one getting baptized. Here's the other one. Didn't have her face, unfortunately, in that photo. But nonetheless, that's the idea. What a difference it makes to have a saved mother. And you know, I was thinking, in Panama, and like in much of Latin America, a lot of times it's the children that get saved before the parents. Because the gospel is being preached into a culture that, like Brother Brian mentioned this morning, the Japanese culture, you know, they don't want to betray their traditions and their families. To change over to becoming a Christian is to betray everything in your past and who you are and your identity and your whole family. Well, a similar thing exists in Latin America concerning the traditional religion there, Catholicism. And so a lot of times the parents are loath to convert. They say, I'm not going to change religion. I'm going to die, apostolic, Roman, I can't remember how to say it in English, but anyway, never mind. But I'm going to die Catholic. But you know, a lot of these young people, they're looking for truth. They're looking for reality. They want to know God and want to know who He is. Like in the case of Omar and Octavio, they were open to the gospel, received Christ, and they were the influence in their home that made the difference. And now their mothers have come to Christ. And what a great thing it is. And of course, that's really opens the door for the whole family now to be really renovated. As a matter of fact, both of those families, things are really going well for them. Their homes are reestablished now where they had been utterly destroyed. And that's the effect that the gospel has, of course, in a family. And thinking about that, like I say, I just have one point, really. I beat around the bush a little bit. But my point is that mothers really need to be saved. They need to know Christ. And I thought about the mothers at the Bible Club there at Elmdale. It's a similar situation that we find in Latin America oftentimes. Many of the kids are Hispanic. A lot of these kids come from homes where the mothers, the parents, they don't know Christ. Tim and Chula don't seem to be here tonight, but you know, there's over 150 kids that are there in the Bible Club. Just a disorderly bunch, generally speaking. You can tell the homes they come from are pretty rough. But many of those kids are receiving the Lord. And how many of their homes have unsaved parents? I wonder. Probably quite a few. And so the thing that I would like to do, really, rather than just instruct in the Bible here, is I would just like to ask us to think about that. And I'd like for us to perhaps have a moment of prayer for those mothers at the Bible Club as well. And in the same way that these ladies in Panama were saved, their homes are revolutionized. Really, it's a pattern that happens all over Latin America. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel into the home. The parents resist it at first. But then they don't resist. There's a point where they can't resist it anymore. And they listen. They love their children. They listen to what they say. They see the change.